We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a hump day Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. Hour number two straight ahead and lots to get to. We'll get back into where we stand with the Braves five games in. It is a small sample size that feels like a large sample size for a variety of different reasons that we got into at the beginning of the show. I mean, the shortened season, but then also the fact that there's just not anything else going on. And I also think, you know, and we'll get to an NFL no huddle in just a minute, as Willie P is in for Randy today and tomorrow. Randy will be back on Friday. I think everything else being weird, and I don't just mean in life, I mean in sports. Like, if yesterday would have been a normal opening day of training camp for the Atlanta Falcons, I think the Braves' loss last night is ingested slightly differently. Just nothing else going on, actually. And Atlanta United being out of the MLS's back tournament, so they're out of sight, out of mind for a month. And just a weird NFL. Not to say that a first day of training camp is going to fix Mike Fultonevich being a disaster and getting DFA'd, but with a normal sports calendar, there's a lot of other things going on to sort of take some of your attention or some of your energy. I mean, the guy showed up at Flowery Branch yesterday and took a COVID test and went home. Hopefully they test negative, right, and then they go back and take another test, and then hopefully that test is negative, and then they can start working out. Like, it's weird. There's nothing to distract you, and that's nice to have baseball back. It's great. It's just unfortunate that it's started out, and the last couple of games have been frustrating from the Braves.
Yeah, normally we'd be up at the branch, and we'd have, you know, players coming off the field, and you'd have Dan Quinn, you'd have all these guys, you know, kind of on our big set there, and I think maybe the Braves would, I don't want to say they would have gotten lost in the shuffle, but it would have, you know, we would have talked probably about Folti, we would have talked about the loss, but it wouldn't have such a magnifier on it. And I think the combination of not having things for so long and having this being really the only active thing that's going on, it does magnify it for us.
Yeah, we'd also be 90 games into the season, you know. Also, so what Kyle Wright did last night, you know, 90 games in, the Braves are probably like, I don't know, 51 and 39 or something like that. Was that good math? I think it was. And it would be less frustrating than them being 2-3 and five games in. Anyway, we'll dig into some of the specifics and details of Kyle Wright's outing and where they go from here with Mike Soroka on the mound in the home opener tonight, coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get to the Wendy Zone at 11:40. I did see Wendy tweeting about wings again, so there's a chance there'll be some more wing conversation coming up at 11:40. Oh, yeah, she confirmed. 100% confirmed. There will be more wings discussed at 11:40 today.
Oh, my.
Before we get to
me for liking drums, I'm guessing.
Well, that's probably going to happen. Yes, also confirmed. That is going to happen at 11:40. Let's get to an NFL no huddle.
We're going no huddle.
With the midday show, no huddle.
The best the NFL has to offer.
Let's go now, let's go! Set!
Brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get an R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile. The NFL no huddle every single day to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. Dan Quinn yesterday on with Dukes and Bell, and we'll let you hear that entire interview coming up in about an hour and a half at 12:20 in our normal Falcons segment. A lot of these clips here from his press availability yesterday as well. And let's start with what he had to say about one of the big storylines coming into the season about Todd Gurley.
Getting to know Todd, I'll have a better sense, you know, after the next few weeks of us together, what's the right amount, how many back-to-back, all of those things we'll take into consideration. But No process together on that yet, Vaughn, until we spend some time together. But you're right about him being in fantastic shape. We're fortunate, learning-wise, offense, the one he's been in, he's in great shape. So he's in the same guidelines with everybody else, but we'll make the best decisions, you know, for guys that have an injury history as far as practice goes. So he's no different than Julio in that regard, where we just make sure the best reps, the ones that he absolutely has to have. We do that with other players as well.
And I've got actual Todd Gurley thoughts and follow up on that in just a minute. But it did remind me of one of the unfortunate things we're going to miss out on by not being at training camp. And thank God for social media, because obviously some of it is still going on. But the first couple of days of training camp, like the media fawning over the athletes who have exercised all offseason is always very funny. It's like, oh man, whew, you look at, he's looking in, look at his legs, look at his calf muscles. I saw there was a picture of Grady Jarrett yesterday. Yes. He looks very strong. That
he's supposed to.
It's his job to be really strong and work out. But yeah, that's always a really fun part of it. Is, oh God, did you see? He's been eating weights all off season. Yeah, all right, good. That's good.
Best shape apparently, of his life.
Todd Gurley also in shape, which is good. Now we're not really going to know the truth about Todd Gurley until I don't even know when. A couple games into the season. I mean, I don't even one game. In one game, who knows? Like if the pass game is working really well against the Seahawks and they just throw the ball all over the field. Maybe we don't really know. Like, it's going to be a little bit before we really know the truth about Todd Gurley. What I don't know is, like, the right way to go about getting him ready from a team standpoint leading into the season. And also, if having no preseason, he wasn't going to play in the preseason anyway. But if having no preseason and just keeping it all in-house with scrimmages could actually be beneficial for Todd Gurley.
Yeah, it's obviously the biggest issue right now when it comes to the Falcons is how will they be able to run the football and balance out that passing game. I feel like the way that he's going to be utilized will be very fascinating, because I feel like you got him to fix what was wrong in the red zone. And maybe that means he isn't necessarily as much of a utilized guy between the 20s. Like, maybe you wait to get him more into action when you cross the 50. Like, that's something that I'm very curious to see how Dan Quinn and how Dirk Cutter and offensive brain trust try to utilize Todd Gurley, because you know he's going to be on a pitch count. You know he's going to be limited as far as what he can do. You want to utilize him when he's most needed, which I think is in the red zone.
Yeah, and you're right, Will. Even on the pitch count that he's been on over the last couple of years with the Rams, he's still been really effective at finding the end zone. Something that Falcons running backs haven't been great at the last couple of seasons. Devontae Freeman didn't score a touchdown for over a season's worth of games. But stretched between years. So having a running back who just has that nose for the end zone, if that actually is a quantifiable skill, we'll find out, will be helpful. But I think, along with every other Falcons fan, interested to see just how healthy he really is when the season starts, just how they're going to use him, what the pitch count looks like, if different games call for a different level of leaning on Todd Gurley, how you try to keep him healthy throughout the regular season, hoping that you have a postseason run and that he can be a part of it. Like, it's a lot of different decisions and a lot of calculus that goes into using Todd Gurley correctly. And hopefully they're up to the task, because if they do and he is effective, the Falcons offense has a chance to get back to being really good. I think to me it comes down to number one thing more than anything else with the Falcons offense, and it's the offensive line. And the ability of McGarry and Lindstrom to take that jump from year one to year two, the ability for the rest of those guys to stay healthy, and that unit to block for Matt Ryan. And if they do, well, Matt Ryan's going to be really good. Also, Todd Gurley's going to be able to run the ball better, and just the entire run game is going to be able to function better. So it starts with the offensive line. But Todd Gurley is like question mark number two. And if those things work out, I think the Falcons offense can get back to being really effective.
And if there's a three, Andy, it's who is that second guy? Is it Tito Smith? Is it Brian Hill? Is it Q Allison? I mean, is it, like, that's the biggest question I also think, too, outside of the two you mentioned, is, okay, we know we can't have Todd Gurley be a bell cow. Who's the guy that steps up and takes up and picks up the rest of the slack?
Right. And especially if that becomes, not only can Todd Gurley not be a bell cow, but the big fears actually came true, and Todd Gurley isn't even close anymore, and he's not effective, and we got to figure out what we're doing at the running back now, and whether it is one of those guys if they're up for the task. Kind of all of that boils down to this, what Dan Quinn was asked yesterday, just about how vital this season is for him. Asked about being on the hot seat and how he's dealing with it in this weird season.
I would say I'm definitely optimistic, but it's not rose-colored glasses, I would say, either. Like, I know where we're at, what we're doing. I know the difficult challenge ahead of us, but it also, I guess, my optimism fires me up to say this is something we can do after being here a while. I've recognized these guidelines are possible to do, and so that's a good feeling. As far as the team goes, I'm excited for our team because you want to prove it. And I think you can probably appreciate that from covering as long as you want. You want that chance to prove it, and that's certainly the way I feel with this team. I've got a great feeling about what this team could be, but we need to go prove it. So,
yeah, I mean, that's about exactly how I feel about the Falcons. That last sentence that Dan Quinn said there pretty much sums it up. Yeah, I feel like they could be really good. I don't know. I'm going to have to see them prove it because I've thought that they could be really good the last couple of years. And at times they have been, and at times more often than that, they haven't been. And that's why they were 7-9 the last two seasons. But he's right though. It's a big prove it season for him. I said this last summer too, like if the Falcons still make the playoffs, probably going to be a new head coach. It wasn't this year. And we understand to a certain extent why. I do feel confident about that now. I think, like, if they don't make the playoffs this season, they're going to make a change at the end of the year. But I feel, I don't know. I feel pretty confident that would be the case, but I can't say definitively.
There isn't a section in the NFL standings for slogans. That's all I want to say about that.
No, there's not. No, because if there was, I mean, Dan Quinn and Pete Carroll's teams would be in the NFC Championship every single year. All right, one more thing from Dan Quinn. We'll let you hear the entire interview coming up at 12:20. Just about no preseason games and trying to keep everything as safe as possible.
I think that I'll drive it in that way. If we need to back off, pay attention to where we're at as a team, what we need, the health of the team. So those are things I think maybe you block out, you know, a training camp that has 5 and 6 days. I think we're going to have to constantly evaluate it, you know, in 48-hour cycle. Where are we at? What do we need more of? Where are we at? What do we need less of? And I'm planning to, the big picture's already in place. And now we'll be adjustable as needed.
Like we said, we'll let you hear Dan Quinn's entire interview with Dukes and Bell coming up at 12:20. One thing that Dan Quinn won't be asked about, or at least not very often, if at all, this season, is Vic Beasley. Vic Beasley was, if not the number one topic of conversation the last couple of seasons, he was certainly near the top. He's no longer an Atlanta Falcon. He signed with the Tennessee Titans over the offseason. Didn't report yesterday, though. No one's really sure why. Field Yates of ESPN says, we'll see if the absence is prolonged. So I don't know what's going on with Vic Beasley. One thing that I do know is that if he doesn't show up and the contract is voided, the Falcons don't get a fifth-round compensatory draft pick, which would be kind of annoying.
Yeah.
But the bottom line for me is I'm just glad it's not our problem anymore.
Right.
Like, I like Vic Beasley, the dude. Seems like one of the nicest guys in the world, but I'm glad that's not our problem anymore.
I mean, it could be something as simple as maybe he has COVID symptoms. He doesn't want to, you know, infect the team, but they wouldn't have put that designation on him if that was the case. They would have done something different. So he would have been on the reserve COVID list as opposed to the reserve did not report list. But, yeah, you made it very clear also, too, when we were talking earlier, like, you know, how much time, how much ink, how much audio was spilled and spent on that one player over the course of the last 2 to 3 years? And now it's not our issue anymore. It's very freeing. Very freeing.
Yeah, honestly. I mean, you know, it got to the point where you knew the answer to the question, but the question still had to be asked because he was on your team. You knew that, you know, he was just a guy, I mean, at that point. I mean, he wasn't going to ever recreate the performance that he had a couple years back when they went to the Super Bowl and pounding our heads against the walls trying to figure it out and also trying to figure out why they paid him $13 million last year to do that was frustrating as well, but we don't have to worry about that anymore. The Titans do. Maybe he shows up, maybe he doesn't.
Thought you can get some of that 2016 season back, but never really happened.
And now that maybe he'll find it in Tennessee. All the best to Vic Beasley. Aaron Rodgers was asked yesterday a number of different questions about his future and Jordan Love, and this is going to go on forever and ever. He doesn't do the best job of, like, nipping these things in the bud, though. Here's Aaron Rodgers about his future with the Packers.
I think probably the former. I think that's probably what happens. You know, based on, you know, just the circumstances around everything, you know. You look at, just look at the facts. You know, they traded up, they drafted him. I would say they like him, they want to play him. Now, I think quarterbacks are playing earlier. It gives some latitude for young coaches and GMs to play their guys. And I get it. I really do. Like, I don't harbor any ill will about it. Like, was I bummed out? Of course. Who wouldn't be? Mm-hmm. You know, like, I wanted to play my entire career in Green Bay. I love the city. I grew up there. Really, I was 21. I'm 36 now. You know, a lot changes during that time. But look, I get it. I see it completely.
Pretty crazy.
You don't harbor any ill will? You don't? Really?
Kind of sounds like it. But yeah, I mean, talking about his time in Green Bay in the past tense is interesting. While he's going to be the starter of the Green Bay Packers this season, he's right, though. I mean, that's what happened. They drafted the quarterback of the future, just like when they drafted him. He was the quarterback of the future, and Brett Favre was going to end his career someplace else. Aaron Rodgers is going to play for another team before he retires. I don't know how many, but in a couple of years from now, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the starting quarterback of another team in the NFL. And that fate was signed when the Packers drafted Jordan Love in the first round back in April. I respect him for talking about it, but I mean, the thing about Aaron Rodgers that always makes me laugh is he'll say that, but then get mad at people like 2 or 3 weeks from now for asking him about it. Like, he's right. The one that does this to himself by actually answering the questions honestly, which I'm glad he does, but it's going to come back to get him.
Definitely not shy, put it that way.
Also, his mustache was pretty good.
Yes.
His mustache was pretty good when he showed up yesterday. I'll give him credit for that. We'll come back and get back into what's going on with the Braves. 5 games in, not that many. Shortened season, though. We're reacting to it as if it's been a lot of games. Mike Soroka back on the mound tonight. Hopefully that'll get things right in the home opener. We'll get into the Braves coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves, in a way, Juan Soto has been cleared to return to the Washington Nationals. So that happened pretty quickly. I mean, Juan Soto was out midway last week with a positive COVID test and was able to return 2 negative tests 24 hours apart. And now he's going to rejoin the Washington Nationals. It's just a great example of how weird this all is. I mean, Will Smith had a positive COVID test at the beginning of July, and he was asymptomatic and wasn't cleared to rejoin the Braves until just a couple days ago. So you never know. And I mean, good for Juan Soto, good for the Washington Nationals, no doubt about it. This just, you know, it was at 5 days, whereas Will Smith took about 22 days. Like, it's there's no telling how long it's going to take you when you actually finally do test positive.
I know we don't wish for anybody to get sick or get the virus or get injured and things of that nature, but it's very hard to divorce your sports feelings from, like, hearing that news, being like, oh, dang, you know.
No, I know.
Is that hard?
No, I'm with you. I agree with you. Like, it is complicated because, you know, it's a virus that has really bad consequences for some people. Like, 100,000+ people have died. You're absolutely right. But also, the Nationals aren't as good without Juan Soto. So, like, a part of your sports brain says, oh, man, Juan Soto's back. But then your humanity takes over and you're like, no, that's good because that means he's not dealing with COVID anymore.
Your sports brain causes you to think really terrible things sometimes.
It does. Yeah. I mean, our sports fandom makes us do things and say things and want things that are not great sometimes. But, you know, that's why it's sports hate. It's not real hate. That's why it's your sports brain, not your real brain. Anyway, Juan Soto is back with the Nationals. That makes the Nationals back to full strength for the most part and makes them even better than they already were. As for the Braves, hopefully you'll get some guys back eventually. Cole Hamels being even larger right now than we thought that he was a couple of weeks ago dealing with this injury. Probably not going to have him back until September, so it's not really something we can look at and say, okay, hopefully that happens and that'll fix the Braves season. They're going to have to take care of it sooner than that. And that's one of the things Brian Snitker talked about last night was you talk about the issues that the Braves are dealing with right now, and that there are a number of them, which we'll get into over the next few minutes. I don't think any are bigger than the back part of the rotation.
It's very disconcerting, Andy, because of the fact that you had the way that this season started – you had a lot of length when it came to your pitching depth. You had Felix Hernandez. You had Cole Hamels. You had, obviously, the promise of guys like Sean Newcomb and Kyle Wright and what they could possibly bring to the rotation. And you had Mike Foltynewicz, who you thought could possibly rebound. And one by one by one by one, these guys have kind of either not proven themselves or opted out or gotten hurt, or one thing led to another. And now you're sitting here in a situation where, yes, you have Mike Soroka and Max Fried, but then you have three other guys who you just really kind of have to throw up, throw your stuff to the wind and figure out what the heck happens. And of course, Mike Foltynewicz is not with us right now. So it's really, really hard to figure out how the Braves are going to negotiate their way through this situation. And it goes back to what I said yesterday. You know, the biggest question mark, I think, for a lot of baseball general managers this year was going to be like, okay, I need to take stock of what I have inside my system. And I feel like we've heard about a lot of these Braves arms for a long time. We know Touki Toussaint well. We know Bryce Wilson well. Kyle Wright, somebody we saw on opening day last year. It's not as if these guys are unknown names to us, but maybe it means we maybe peel the envelope a little bit back further. Do you go to a Tucker Davidson? Do you go to a Patrick Weigl? Do you go to some of these other names that are unproven that we haven't seen at the Braves' top level before? It's going to be interesting how they navigate these next couple of weeks, because I just feel like you don't have the kind of time, and we talked about this with the hitters, you know, you don't have the kind of time that you usually do to try and figure this stuff out. You only have 60 games.
Yeah, and that sort of gets me to my question about them 5 games in, is what is reasonable to be reacting to, and what is an overreaction? Like, what is too far to say, given the sample size that you have? And we talked about this at the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. The sample size argument gets really complicated in this season because, you know, we look at everything through the lens of 2.7 times more important. Every game is 2.7 times more. Every loss is 2.7 times more. Everything is more condensed and more valuable and more important. But that doesn't mean things happen on a different timeline for individuals. Like, Ronald Acuna can't snap out of his slump 2.7 times faster because the season is shorter. He's still going to have to hit his way out of it. And Freddie Freeman is the exact same way. It's going to feel longer because technically it matters more because the season is shorter. But these guys still have to play baseball to work their way through it. I do think that the one thing, if we're talking about overreaction versus just reaction, that isn't an overreaction is the worry about the starting rotation, because it was a worry before the season even began. Again, we had analysts on from Fox Sports South every single day last week and asked them all the same thing. Like, what gives you great confidence in the Braves? What is the biggest concern you have? And I think if it wasn't all of them, most of them said the starting rotation is the concern, because even with the front two guys that you feel good about, they're still young, you know. Soroka and Fried, I think, are the, you know, we feel good about those guys. They're still really early on in their baseball careers. After that, we didn't know what we were getting. Nobody could have predicted that Mike Foltynewicz would already be out of the fold one right. road trip into the season. And honestly, I don't know how you deal with it. Like, I like your solution, Will. It seems reasonable. We've seen some of these young guys up before. I don't know what your other option is. Like, if you want to actually have starting pitchers starting games and not just going, you know, a full bullpen committee to try to get through an entire game, then you're going to have to get Bryce Wilson back up here. Then you're going to have to dip into that minor league system and maybe ask guys to start games that they might not be prepared to start. The other thing that's frustrating is with a guy like Kyle Wright, who I think in a normal year where he's able to work into it, by midseason, based on the stuff that we saw from him last night early in the game, would probably be able to navigate a spot in the starting rotation. But we don't really have the timeline to work him into that like you normally would. Like, last night, I think, hopefully, Kyle Wright learned a lot from last night. You don't go away from the stuff that's working. You don't lean on a slider in the third inning when the fastball has been getting you ahead of counts and has been your out pitch. If you are ahead in counts, don't start losing guys because you're trying to get cute. Pound the strikes. I mean, I think yesterday was a great learning experience for him. I'm not super worried about it. But how many learning experiences does he need before he's actually going to be a reliable starting pitcher? And how many of those learning experiences end up in losses like last night did?
Well, I do want to differentiate something between Kyle Wright and Folty, because, you know, when you think about Kyle Wright, he's a guy who only has 5 major league starts to this point in his career. And I realize that that might seem like, oh, well, you know, he's got 5 starts, you know, he should have figured it out by now. Well, it never really does really figure it out. I feel like when you talk to people who've pitched in this game before, they say it probably takes more like 1 full season of just constantly going out there every 5th day and doing it. So you might not really see the dividends of Kyle Wright until really 2021. Now, do the Braves have the type of cushion to be able to afford themselves an ability to actually see what that looks like over the course of this year? They probably don't. I think at one point they might have thought they did because they thought they had solid guys in Sean Newcomb and Mike Foltynewicz. The problem with Foltynewicz is that that's a guy who's completely lost his way, whether it's physically, whether it's mentally, or some combination of the two. That's a much different scenario than what we saw last night with Kyle Wright. I don't want people looking at Kyle Wright and saying, oh my goodness, here's another guy who, you know, is a head case and can't get himself right. No, this is about a guy who's still learning how to pitch. He's got electric stuff, and you saw it in the first 2 innings last night. And then when he gets to the 3rd inning, he comes to a sign of trouble. Like, you have to learn how to deal with that adversity, and you really can't do that unless you faced it head on. Like,
right.
when you think about these pitchers, a lot of them, they get used to being able to, you know, put up big strikeout numbers and fool guys. And the biggest jump when a pitcher has to go from AAA to the major leagues, that is such a jump that I don't think we have enough sympathy for when it comes to a lot of these guys who just get it right away, and we get spoiled by that, like we have Mike Soroka.
Yeah, and I think Soroka does spoil you. I think he's a great example of somebody who is such an outlier,
right,
but is now a guy that we're so reliant on that we're like, all right, great, Kyle Wright does it, do it too. Do like Soroka did, just be a 21-year-old savant and be able to go out there and start 30 games and
not
win.
Realistic.
No, it isn't. That's not the way that it works. Dave O'Brien had a great little nugget in his article this morning in The Athletic, lauding praise on Mike Soroka, who he called the Maple Maddox, which is fantastic, about Greg Maddux's year 21 season, when he was a disaster, like most people are when they're 21. John Smoltz, whenever he joins us, is like, man, if I played in this era, I might have been out of baseball because I wasn't really good until I was like 25, and they let me work my way through it. But I lost a lot of games, a lot of trial by fire, a lot of learning by doing the job. That's the hard part about this season. The Braves find themselves in a spot with this pitching rotation where, because of how thin they are and how young they are, they're going to have to let these guys learn by doing the job. But last night, that's 1 of 60, and that's a loss because Kyle Wright wasn't ready for it yet. Hopefully he's better next time. The thing that I'm not worried about, and I know it's hard to say this because the strikeout rate is ridiculous. The Braves have almost twice as many strikeouts as they do hits through 5 games. I'm confident that will work itself out. I'm confident that given a reasonable sample size, Freddie Freeman and Ronald Acuna and these guys that are professional hitters will look like professional hitters.
It's easier for professional hitters to work their way out of slumps than young pitchers who haven't experienced it before.
Sure, absolutely. We'll come back. We'll get to the Wendy Zone. Wendy Adams joins us next, as she does at 11:40 every day on the Midday Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
You can listen at work from anywhere with the 92.9 The Game radio.com app. It makes work a lot more better. Lot more better? Is that right?
Yeah, just go with that.
Okay.
The Radio.com app, making your life a little more better. Or stream on your smart device from Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Be respectful of Wendy. She's a lady, all right?
She's a lady.
Behold, a lady.
I'm a lady.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. Is the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
When you're not hungry, you become average.
Brought to you by Wellstar. More than healthcare, it's people care. It's the Wendy Zone every single day at 11:40. Wendy Adams joins us on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. No Randy today or tomorrow. Willie P filling in for him. Hey, Wendy.
Well, guys, what's up, guys? Well,
hi, Wendy.
I learned that Lou Williams is way ahead of the curve, and I'm just going to go ahead and hit our sounder.
Yes.
NBA bubble burst. The latest news popping out of Orlando.
So today, by now you all know the story. Lou Williams was back in Atlanta. He attended a friend's funeral here. And then while he was here, he ended up going to Magic City, where he claims he was just ordering wings. He got outed. Now he's just having to do 10 days in quarantine instead of 4 days, blah, blah, blah. So
yep.
The real part of the story is that Lou Williams was ahead of all of us, because, guys, today is National Chicken Wing Day, which could not be more appropriate for this week. So I have a poll question that I asked, at least on my Twitter page, at Wendy Radio. But before I do that, I want to go down to Orlando and inside the bubble, because this has to do with National Chicken Wing Day and the Lou Williams saga. So Kevin Harland has to be one of my favorite play guys in all of sports. I mean, especially when it comes to the NBA. I think he's super fantastic. He does a great job at what he does. And speaking of Lou Williams, this was him on the call of the Celtics Rockets exhibition game last night. And I'm just going to let you guys take a listen.
I want to see how much pull we have in the city of Atlanta. See if we can get some of those chicken wings sent down here to Orlando.
Oh, no,
we could celebrate. We could celebrate the restart with those wings. Anyway, guys, that's our story.
I love the little laugh in the back.
Seven.
His giggle was so... What even is the right word to describe that giggle? Was it... Was it creepy? Like
it was a Cheshire. It was a Cheshire grin.
Yeah, like very devious. He knows what he's talking about. Kevin Harlan's called enough games for TNT to have spent enough time in Atlanta.
Sure.
To have had the opportunity to go to Magic City if he wanted. I don't know if he's been there or not, and who knows?
We don't know.
But if
bare-chested, banging his chest.
If he wanted to go, Kevin Harlan's had plenty of opportunities to go and get those chicken wings by now. Oh, man, that was fantastic. Very well done.
Solid trolling. Solid trolling.
He's just the best. So on National Chicken Wing Day, which is today, I have four questions at Wendy Radio on my Twitter page, and you can answer them, and I want you guys to answer them, Will and Andy. Here we go. Number one, what's your favorite wing spot?
Old Dad's, Dawsonville.
Okay.
I still haven't tried those. I do want to. I feel like here, the best wings that I've had in Atlanta are J.R. Cricket's.
Yeah, J.R. Cricket's super good. This is like kind of random, but there's a place called Muss and Turner's right across Atlanta Road from where we live.
Okay.
And they make wings, and they're not always on the menu, but they smoke them. And I loved smoked wings. There's also a place down in Atkins Park called the Albert, and they smoke their wings too. And the thing that I like about their wings, and I've gotten confirmation, I've taken Jarvis and Randy with me to that restaurant and gotten thumbs up from them on those wings. Mm-hmm. So they're Atlanta native approved. They're big. They're big, yes. Juicy wings. Like, you can have a delicious flavored wing, but if it's like you were saying about the Magic City wings, Will, like a little wing can be very, very unsatisfying. I like a big, juicy wing, and you get those at the Albert, and you get them at Muss and Turner.
There was a place I went to when I went to college at Missouri called CJ's Wings, and they bring out the wings like in a bowl, like swimming in a bowl, and that's kind of how I like my wings. I like them wet, so with a lot of sauce. So like that's... I think the nirvana when it comes to wings for me.
Brian Gebhardt says chicken too. Clay's in Sandy Springs. Hot lemon pepper are his favorites. That's the one that that Brian goes with.
I can't think of my favorite place. It's off of South Cobb Drive, and once I get the name of it, I'll send out a tweet. But they've have the best wings that I've ever had. So
can I ask you this quickly?
Sure.
Like, because there's a bunch of different J.R. Cricket's locations. Mm-hmm. I've been to the one down... I don't know, the one that's close to the station, just down a little
on
south.
Ponce,
where,
the one on Ponce.
Yeah, the one on Ponce, right there.
That's
in the
where
middle,
I've been.
Yeah.
That's where I've been.
I've been to that one, and it's great. It's really good. There's one just around the corner from me on the East-West Connector in a little strip mall over there. I haven't been to that one. Are all J.R. Cricket's...
accuracy check, maybe?
Are they all the same? Like, are you going to get the same quality of wing from J.R. Cricket's to J.R. Cricket's, or do they deviate from spot to spot? That's what I need to know, because I haven't been to that one yet. I need to go there.
That's a good question. I don't have the answer answer to that one. I've only been to the one that used to be located down here. It's not open anymore, so I'm not sure the answer to that.
Okay.
But I'm sure a listener would know. They could text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if they have the answer to your question.
I'll investigate myself as well.
Investigative journalism continues on wings. All right, number two, favorite wing flavor. You guys might have already said that.
Hot buffalo.
Hot buffalo, okay.
Lemon pepper.
Me, I'm going hot buffalo or the garlic wings. Garlic yes. wings. Ooh. Garlic parmesan wings. Oh, they're so good.
What Very I normally good. Do, though, and which is why we called it the Bunky Pantsless Naked Wing. I normally get my wings naked with a handful of sauces on the side, and I like to do the dipping myself. Barbecue sauce, buffalo sauce, hot sauce. I do not like ranch on wings. That is not
That's what
or
ask.
Blue cheese.
That
I do not like ranch or blue cheese.
The next question, so preferred wing dipping sauce.
You and I are of one mind there, Andy. I am not a fan of the ranch or blue cheese in the dipping sauce.
Yeah. Both crazy.
Julianne, my girlfriend, loves ranch so much that so that she actually ranks her ranches. She has like a journal of ranch.
No, there is a ranking. There is a ranking of ranch. And
who has the best ranch?
She said that actually you'll love this. The Bush's Baked Bean Factory in Tennessee has amazing homemade ranch.
Very specific.
And they also have the best chicken tenders. She said they've ever had. She's ever had in her life.
I'm not saying I love ranch. I just don't like ranch on my hot wings. That's it.
That's so disappointing.
Sorry.
But if you're going ranch in the grocery store, you got to go Lighthouse. It's over where you get your produce at. So that's my favorite one in the grocery store. But still, you can't beat some of the ones that you get in the restaurants. And I still can't find the restaurant ranch. If someone would just make the brand Restaurant Ranch and it tasted like the restaurant ranch, I would...
Well, homemade ranch is always better than what you get out of the box.
Sometimes, but it still doesn't taste like the ranch that you get in some restaurants that you really want. I don't know. It's weird. I'm weird. And then number four, drums or flats, guys. Or a mixture.
I'm a big drums guy. I'm sorry.
You're all drums, Will, aren't you?
All drums, all the time.
I mean, like I said the other day, I prefer the mix. It's fun to go back and forth with the debate inside your own mind while you're eating which one is better. Oh, this is a delicious drum. Let's see what the flat has. Oh, the flat with an excellent retort. The flat also delicious.
You do the same
I like to go back and forth. If I get a 12-piece, I'll alternate.
It's like a mini competition
drum, flat,
in your
drum,
mind.
Drum, flat, drum, flat. Exactly. I let them plead their case every time. And the great thing about it is every single time they tie. They tie for first place. They're both delicious.
I don't know. Sometimes
I feel like
flats.
I need that big bone. Like the flats with those little flimsy bones
that
fall
apart.
Save
that clip probably
for
later.
I hate
that.
I'm just saying.
Isolate it. Keep that one for later. Okay.
Good. I'm just saying. I need those flimsy bones on the flats. I can't do it.
You like a big, sturdy bone.
I need a big, sturdy bone. Okay, I need a big, sturdy bone.
Good.
Huh. I feel like I should do one more story so we can just...
Girthy is what Will's going for.
Yes.
Here, no, we're just
talking
about
the big guys.
We're just going to go to break.
Go to break now?
Yeah,
okay.
What? Go to break.
Thanks, Wendy.
I don't know if I should say you're welcome.
No, you should.
I'm very unsure right now. But happy National Chicken Wing Day, folks. Go get yourself
big
some
fan.
Wings.
Happy Huge. National Chicken Way, Chicken Wing, whatever.
It's
to you
to
as
say.
Well. Sorry, yeah, that's a tongue twister. We'll be back. Most important audio in the world, top of the noon hour. Dan Quinn's interview with Dukes and Bell coming up at 12:20. Don't go anywhere on a hump day Wednesday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, radio.com app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.